Prophet Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and hearken, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken. Then later on in the book, chapter 53, Isaiah 53, page 893 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did regard him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, page 1185, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then Jesus comes with them to a place called Gethsemane. He says to the disciples, sit here till I go away and pray yonder. And taking with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. Then he says to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me. Going forward a little, he fell on his face, praying and saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. Comes to the disciples and finds them sleeping. Says to Peter, thus ye have not been able to watch 1 hour with me. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is ready, but the flesh weak. Again, going away a second time, he prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass from me unless I drink it, thy will be done. Coming, he found them again sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. Leaving them, he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. He comes to the disciples and says to them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour has drawn nigh. The Son of Man is delivered up into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Behold, he that delivers me up has drawn nigh. Just finally, in the end of Luke's Gospel, page 1265, we'll read from verse 36. Luke 24 and verse 36. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst and says to them, peace be unto you. But they, being confounded, being frightened, supposed they beheld a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? Why are these thoughts rising in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me having. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they did not believe for joy and were wondering, he said to them, have ye anything here to eat? And they gave him part of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and ate before them. He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all that is written concerning me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that thus it behoved the Christ to suffer and to rise from among the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I've had on my heart, dear friends, to speak in a simple way, particularly of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had an impression of the sufferings of the Christ in the first hymn we opened with this morning. But to have a true understanding of what the Lord Jesus suffered and why he suffered, we need to have an understanding of why it was necessary for him to go that way. It's necessary, dear friends, because sin has come in. But the desire of God is that you, dear friend, might be cleansed from the penalty of your sin. That's why I read in that verse in Isaiah, which I really love, "Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Dear friend, do you see your sins as scarlet or red like crimson? Or do you think that your sins don't really matter very much? Sadly, there are many people who seem to think like that. The reason for it is that they measure their sin against other men or their own perception. But dear friend, sin is against God. And we need to remember that the sin that shut man out of God's presence for time and eternity was a simple act of disobedience. And what one of us can excuse ourselves from that? But dear friend, before a holy and righteous God, even the whitest sin in man's perception is as scarlet or red like crimson. But dear friend, God's love is towards us. We sang in our hymn at the beginning about God's righteousness and God's grace. His righteousness and wondrous grace. Dear friend, how can these two things be married together? A God who is righteous and cannot have any sin, no matter how little, in his presence, wants to bestow his grace upon a sinful creature, one who is lost and undone by sin. Dear friend, it had to be met because the price had to be paid. That price was paid in the precious blood of Jesus, which was shed on Calvary's cross. It is easy for us to speak about these things. It is easy for us to speak about them 2,000 years later. We've probably, all of us, or most of us, if not all, sat under many gospel preachings and we've heard about the price of sin having been paid. We've heard about the cost having been met in full. And it has been, dear friend. It has been met in full. But I want to draw your attention, dear friend, tonight to what that cost was. We sang about the judgment falling upon Jesus' head. These sins, which are as scarlet before God, can be made white as snow. There's no greater contrast, is there, between scarlet and the newly fallen snow. I suppose even if you dropped a scarlet thread upon newly fallen snow, you would be clearly able to see it, you know. No greater contrast, really. God wants to make them as white as snow. And he can do so. And he can do so in a righteous way, because the righteous claims of judgment have been met. And they've been met because the Lord Jesus paid the price. And he paid the price in full. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did regard him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I can't really add to those words, dear friend. I would plead with you to contemplate them, because it gives you some understanding of what the Lord Jesus had to go through so that there might be a gospel preaching, a preaching of the grace and the love of God tonight in 2022, because the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the penalty which stood out against us, which stood out against the sinner, wounded for our transgressions. Those weren't simply the wounds that the wicked men that put him upon that cross inflicted upon him. The Lord Jesus was treated cruelly, possibly far more cruelly than any other man. Lord could speak of all his bones being out of joint, and yet it says not a bone of his shall be broken. Precious Holy One of God. Wonderful really that even in his suffering there was that which men could not do to him. But you know, when the Lord Jesus really bore the sufferings, it was in the 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours on that cross where men did their worst to him and men could see what was going on. 3 hours clothed in darkness when the Lord Jesus suffered the penalty of sin, where he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Those 3 hours, dear friend, is what I want to draw your attention to tonight. Matthew, we get the Lord Jesus contemplating that time. Think of that one who had known nothing but holy communion with his God and Father, known the heavens to be opened upon him, and declaration made as to the pleasure that God found in him. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. That was said at the beginning of his public testimony, when men knew very little about the Lord Jesus. One could say, when they saw him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, the Lord Jesus had known perfect holy communion with his God and Father, but that communion was to be broken into in those 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness, you know, dear friend, when the whole question and the penalty of sin was meted out upon the head of my precious Saviour. 3 hours of darkness where the penalty of sin was borne, where the penalty of sin in all its awfulness, the price of it was paid, and it was paid in full. 3 hours of darkness. And these verses we read in Matthew are what the Lord Jesus was contemplating when he spoke at that time. Took disciples with him to pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. It was no small thing, you know, for the Lord Jesus to go this way. Sometimes, you know, we can think that he was in some way above it because of who he was, because he was God blessed forever, God manifest in flesh. And yet, he came here as a man. He walked here amongst men as a man. He knew feelings as a man. He knew suffering as a man. He knew hunger and tiredness as a man. The Lord Jesus went to the cross as a man. A holy and righteous man, but as a man. And he suffered the just for the unjust as a man. And he could say, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Contemplation of what it was to become the sin bearer. The Lord Jesus simply was going to know the greatest suffering ever in those 3 hours of darkness, because he knew what he was going to have to bear. The price of sin was measured by the only one who was able to measure it. And the price of sin was paid by the only one who was able to pay it. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And these verses we read in Matthew are his contemplation of that time and what it was going to cost him. I commend you, dear friend, to consider these words. Consider these things when you think about the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. Because, dear friend, the love of God is what is in mind to be expressed in the gospel preaching. But it's easy to speak about these things, but we have to remember that there was one who had to bear the price of sin for the love of God to be shown. Because God's righteousness could not have been met if one had not become the sin bearer. So he went to the cross. He gave up that precious life, a life of absolute perfection. He could say himself, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself." Simple words you may say, but dear friend, we've contemplated the cost it was to him. And he went into death. Blood was shed by a soldier who pierced his side. Think of that, an act of hatred. Someone who was clearly already dead, and yet a soldier pierces his side. Outflowed blood and water. Well, if you know anything about the Old Testament sacrificial system, you will understand that the blood was always for God. Precious blood of Jesus had to be shed so that God could come out in mercy towards a sinner. But he didn't remain in death. He died, taken down from the cross and put into a tomb by those who cared and loved the Lord Jesus. Yet the third day he was risen from among the dead by the glory of the Father. Then he comes in to show himself to his disciples. He can say, "Peace be unto you. A spirit has not flesh and bones as ye see me having." Was the very person who had gone into death that was standing there in their midst. And he opens up the scriptures to them and how it is written that it behoved the Christ to suffer and to rise from among the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, dear friend, this city, Jerusalem, had been the place where the Lord Jesus had been condemned to death, where the Lord Jesus has been roughly handled, where he had been beaten and spat upon and mocked and cursed. It was the last place that deserved to receive the glad tidings. And yet, the word is that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, I thank God that repentance and remission of sins can be preached in Worthing tonight, 2022 years later. And I thank God that the same gospel, the same message, the same purpose of heart, of a heart of a righteous God towards a repentant sinner is the same. And if you come to God tonight in repentance, you can know that your sins can be forgiven. And you can know something of a living Saviour. One who has been into death. One who has taken the penalty of your sins. One who has been into the tomb. But one who has been raised by the glory of the Father. And is now seated at his right hand, awaiting that time when he's going to come and call all those who believe in him to be with himself. Wondrous prospect, you know, before a Christian, isn't it? Those who believe in the Lord Jesus are going to be called up to be with him in the air. What a wondrous prospect that is. Your prospects, dear friend, earthbound? Are they contained in what you see around you? Oh, dear friend, if that's all you have, I feel very, very sorry for you. But tonight, you have the opportunity to lay hold of these things. To lay hold of a Saviour who has paid the price of your sin. To lay hold of a Saviour who is living at God's right hand. To lay hold of a Saviour who is as able to save now as he was when he went to the cross of Calvary. The work is the same. The penalty is the same. The price that has been paid is the same. And the heart of God is the same. The heart of God is the same towards you tonight, dear friend. Lay hold of it tonight, because there is a time coming when that will change. That will change. There needs to be a warning that goes with the glad tidings, you know. Once the Lord Jesus has come to take his own, to be with himself, the time of opportunity will be past. And it will be past forever. Forever. There will be no further opportunity for those who have heard the glad tidings in the present day to repent. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the well-accepted time. Won't you lay hold of the Saviour of God's providing tonight, dear friend? It can only be done on his terms. It's not on our terms, you know. Some think that they'll be able to bargain with God. Well, I tell you one thing. Like that man who went into the wedding feast without a wedding garment. What did he have to say? He had nothing at all to say. And thus, you will be, if you seem to think that you will be able to bargain with God. It has cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. It cost God his precious Son. Dear friend, don't think that there is any other way that you can merit God's salvation other than trusting in the Saviour of his providing. I commend him to you tonight. I might well not have presented my thoughts and the message very well, but I present the Saviour of God's providing to you for your acceptance and for your blessing. Well, may he become your Saviour if he's not already. May he become more precious to you if he is already your Saviour, for his name's sake.